happens in the end, it's like a default. You thought you'd made the grade, all you made will start to fade. We threw it in the fire, it's better than it thought we made. Futures run together, didn't seem to have enough. Wheels are coming off now, knew that it would fall apart. Take one for the team, you're a cog in the machine, it's like a default. Machine, it's like a default. You missed a starting gun for everything you've ever done. You took part in the race, disappeared without a trace. You thought you'd set the bar, I never tried to work it out. We just lit the fire, and now you wanna put it out. Forget about the cause, press rewind and stop and pause. It's like a default.
Superhuman discarded things right now.
What city place?
We're well beyond the categories for men and women right now. And we're just superhuman discarded things right now. electric environment, then we wouldn't be extended in a discarnate situation. Therefore, we'd be back in our bodies. We would not be in this new nature. We'd be in what we call the old nature. The constant electronic bombardment creates a state of awakefulness that cannot be sleep-inducing or rest-inducing, therefore stress. Any kind of strategy to wake man up is inappropriate today. We are here to drive you back to sleep.
We are having the experience we can visualize in our brains.
Operator, what city, please?
Then what would that do to our sense of self, our image of ourselves? This may be the root of the confusion that people have in the electric environment.
Bring back the body.
Give me body.
This may be the root of the confusion that people have
Bring
in the electric
body.
Environment.
Give me body.
This may be the root of the new body that people have in the electric
Give
environment.
Me body.
This may be the root of the confusion that people have in the electric
Give
environment.
Me body.
We are here to drive you back to sleep.
I've got nobody.
That was fun.
That was fun.
What's that watery sound? Do you hear that? Sounds like you're swimming in seawater.
Me? No.
Yeah.
That's
Do
weird.
You hear that, Yuri? Can you hear that watery sound, Yuri?
Yeah, and I think you can feel it too. It's interesting.
Yeah,
it's very fresh, very clear. Like, it's refreshing.
Yeah, so Sarah, when you re-listen to the show, what is this, the fifth hour, listen to it at the end of the songs on the fifth hour. You'll hear the water effect, I think. It'll be interesting if we don't hear it on the recording.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had quite a mouthful there. The first song was a band called Django Django, which is a British psychedelic quartet that was formed at an art school, another art school band in Edinburgh in 2009. They released their self-titled debut album on January 30th, 2012. So they got 5 out of 5 stars. They got rated 8 out of 10 at New Musical Express. It's a new modern classic, they say, about these guys' album. Referencing the innovative use of African sounds and musical fusion. So you heard it here first, Django Django, playing, what was the name of that song? Just a second. Default. And I actually got the lyrics here. Default. They go something like this. It goes with things we talked about in the previous hour. You thought you'd set the bar. I never tried to work it out. We just lit the fire, and now you want to put it out. You gave it all you got, and all you got is not enough. Why don't you hand it over? Time is up. You've had your shot. Gather once again. Disaster's in the end. It's like a default. You thought you'd make the grade. Oh, yours start to fade. We threw it in the fire. It's better that it not remain. You just brought together. Didn't seem to have the heart. We use like coming off. This could be Obama winning the second term by default. You just brought together. Didn't seem to have the heart, is what Peggy Noonan noticed. We use like coming off now. You that it would fall apart. Take one for the team. You're a cog in the machine. It's like a default. Take one for the team. You're a cog in the machine. It's like a default. You've missed the starting on for everything you ever done. You took part in the race. There it is. There's the race. But disappeared without a trace. That's what Peggy Newman saw. You thought you'd set the bar. I never tried to work it out. We just lit the fire, and now you want to put it out. Forget about the cause. Press rewind, then stop and pause. It's like a default. Forget about the cause. Press rewind, then stop and pause. It's like a default. So that was Django Django. And then we heard me mixed in with Dave Neufeld's genius music. That is from the album Bob's Mediacology. It's called Discarnate Woman. It was made 20 years ago. Came out in 1992. And it was requested by some Ionettes to hear Discarnate Woman. So we played it. There it is. And I'm sure some of the things, there's a couple of lines in there that fit what we were talking about. Oh, yeah, there was... I say there that I define sleep correctly. Ion says, you know, you can't wake people up. There's no awakening. I was saying that. We're not here to wake you up. We're here to drive you to sleep. That's definitely what the RNA drops do. They give you a nice, comfortable sleep.
Hmm. Wow. You know, I have to say something. I was going to choose one of the songs for Cash Flow, this song called Don't Wake Me Up by Chris Brown. And I really like this song, but I thought it was maybe not right for me to pick a song that would, you know, tell people to not wake up, because that's kind of, you know, the whole new age scene is, oh, you need to wake up, conspiracy, you know, and then pull apology. But that's pretty great, Bob. Thanks. No wonder I enjoyed that song, because it was real.
Yeah, yeah. And you were right not to play Chris Brown. Okay,
no, I was I should have played Chris Brown. You don't like Chris Brown?
Oh, what did you say? What his song was called Don't Wake Me Up?
Yeah, it's so good. It goes, Don't Wake Me Up. It's really good. And is popular culture is, you know, they're all about, like, you know, just enjoy life, you know, have a bunch of sex, all that stuff. But then politics will say, you know, oh, you need to do something, get off your lazy ass and vote. And then,
yeah,
you know,
see,
conspiracy
see,
people will say,
there,
well,
Sasha?
Oh, fucked up, wake the fuck up.
What's wrong there is the dialectic between wake me up and not awake. Neither apply. See, that's what's wrong with Chris Brown. He's saying, don't wake me up. He thinks people can be awake. It's not an issue. But this is all superseded. We have Sasha here in conference. And when Sasha's here, we all have to stand at attention. Sasha's a long-standing Ionet with the impeccable credentials of background research. Yes, Sasha, tell us about the CKLN shows from 22 years ago.
Well, actually, Bob, I was calling in because I was just having a little moment of reflection about certain things, and I went to a link that I just emailed you, and I was wondering if you could play it. I actually totally forgot that you were on the show tonight, and I remembered and thought maybe this would be an appropriate time to play this random link, if you could pull it up and just maybe play the first 5 minutes. You don't even know what it is.
This is a dialogue with Walter Boward?
Yeah. I think it would be a really good timing to play this right now because it's so incredibly appropriate what he says within the first 5 minutes. I think everyone should hear it.
Okay, so I'm going to send it to Bill, and Bill will take a few minutes. He can set it up. All right,
yeah.
So...
Yeah, we're not going to preface it or anything, but for some reason it just came up that I should listen to it, and then I was like, oh, they're on the radio. I think I'll just call in and maybe see if I can share this. So...
Right. So, okay, Bill, I just sent the email's called Sasha's Quote, and I don't know why I'm calling it a quote, but anyways, I just sent the link, and you can do what you have to do and then let us know when it's ready. But did you hear the last, what I played in the last half hour, or in the previous show, hour?
No, I haven't. No, I just told you I even forgot the show was on until like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, you're just getting too much, Bob. You're at the regular meetings and all this stuff, and you just know he's always there, and so, yeah, you forgot we actually have to perform in mortar.
Exactly. And here I am performing in mortar at 11 o'clock at night when I was just about to go to bed.
Okay, so here's some emails. Kathy, who called in a while ago, and she says, I'm still here waiting for the good stuff. She said that last hour at 22:20. She said that because I said the next clip would be great. So then now she's heard it. Meanwhile, Crystal in Portland says, frequency R and magnetism is. See, he heard what we played last hour. Frequencies are or frequency R, and magnetism is. And he goes, whatever that means, it was a distinction of note. Yes, you're right, Christo. It was a distinction of note. Much will be revealed later. It'll hit you about 2:20 in the morning, what that means. Now, Kathy then writes, Bob, you asked how you created a situation. Was the answer that you created the situation by writing about it in your diary? If I write about my financial freedom, how could I frame my statement so it would appear I was coming from a position of want? No, so it would not appear I was coming from a position of want or lack. Well, yes, it was a bit ambiguous me talking to Ian about my diaries. My diaries are about what happened, but the way it came out, it's like I asked, did I create this stuff? And that was in the context of a lot of talk with Ian. And Ian says, yes, Bob, you created it. And then I said something, and I said, but it did. It happened. So it's all ambiguous, but the way I presented it, Kathy, is that I wrote it, I lived it. No, I lived it, I wrote it, and it sounds like you have to write it to live it. No, doesn't have to be. So if you want to write about your financial freedom, how could I frame my statement so it would not appear I was coming from a position of want or lack? Say, I am so damn rich, if anybody sends me any more money, I'll shoot them. That's what you write. I am so damn rich that if anybody sends me any more money, I will search them out and kill them. That's definitely operating from no lack there. You've got more than enough. You got all the money you want, and you're ready for more. But you're not even ready for it. You don't even care if you get any more. You've got to be indifferent to it, Kathy. Right, Sasha? Am I on the right track here?
Absolutely, Bob.
What do you say, Yuri? You agree with Sasha?
Absolutely, Bob.
Okay. Kathy then follows up and says, I should have clarified that the question you asked Ian was in the clip you just played. Now, what was the... I guess she means the clip, not the music. Okay, I think that's clear. And then she responds, right now, ha, 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 with 2 exclamation marks. Only 2 exclamations, Kathy, come on now. Oh, at least 5 exclamation marks. Okay, that's too tiny. And earlier I went after, since we're on this track, I went after Martha Bisbee. I said I was very suspicious of her claims, and she said, Bob, you make me laugh, you ding-dong. I make her laugh, and I'm a ding-dong, and only 2 exclamation marks. Not good enough. When I read that email of the person who could suddenly see, thanks to the RNA drops and reader mail and all that, she had 25 exclamation marks after the statement. She has set the bar. Okay, guys, it's your show. You're the audience. You're in charge. What do you want to talk about? Yuri, don't you have anything to say about the Steve Jobs and everything that I played in the last hour? It was incredible what I played.
Yeah, it was a lot, and I'm really impressed by the amount of information Ian revealed about Steve Jobs too. The iPhone 5 is out right now, and I don't have it as yet, but I'm still hanging around the 4 and the 4S. But there's something really interesting about the 5 that really piques my interest, and it's something that they didn't mention because of I don't know, whatever reason. But it's about that sapphire lining in the camera. There's something really special about it. I mean, it's on the tip of my tongue, but I really think it'll take the product to a whole new level, and it's probably going to change the world. Like from
that
little
stone, chain. It has a sapphire stone.
Yes, on the camera, it has a sapphire lens. It has like the screen on the front just to protect the camera. It's made out of sapphire.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's interesting. When you,
yes.
Let me say this. You know what you heard in the previous clip. We're talking about gems and stones and that. And there's a whole section that I deleted. It was secret about sapphire in that clip that I played. I didn't let that be heard. But that's interesting. That maybe Steve Jobs figured out about the sapphire.
I think he did too, and I'm really really impressed. But I'm actually excited. I've been really excited about the iPhone 5, and I don't know. I'm really looking forward to what's going to follow afterwards from that. I mean, especially since they incorporated it into this model. But on top of that, you had an influence on Apple's development. I'm a little
Yuri, can I pause you just for a second there, just to get this into context for Bob? And I just pulled up an article from Fast Company about that specifically, and it's the camera. It says from this article, it says Apple ditched the pointless augmentation of megapixels and stuck with an 8-megapixel rear camera on the new iPhone, but it mm-hmm. adds sapphire glass to protect the unit and beefed mm-hmm. up the hardware and software to deliver better image stabilization. Blah blah blah. But that's basically what it was. So I don't know if that might help with whatever Bob's secret information is, but the sapphire glass was used to protect the unit.
Okay, Sasha, I missed a bit of what you said. What did it say? That was a sapphire jewel? Did it say at least that?
No, it says sapphire glass.
Okay, well yeah. that's gem. That's something made of sapphire, right?
I'll dig a little bit deeper here, but you can carry on, if you like.
Yeah, the sapphire can be used on a certain thickness as a form of glass. It's been experimented with certain cameras, for instance, X-ray cameras that are used for scanning like crates, those big crates that come in on ships. Sapphire is used on that camera, and it's used. Yes, if you want me to continue with the rest of the information, Bob,
wait a minute.
Sapphire is sapphire glass. Here, glass is a layman's term. This is from Wikipedia, which refers to the amorphous state, but to the transparency. Sapphire is not only highly transparent to wavelengths of light between 150 nm, whatever that is, UV,
mm-hmm.
and 550 nm. And then it says the human eye can discern wavelengths from about 380 to 750. It's five times stronger than glass and ranks at 9 on the Mohs scale. God, I wish Greg was here reading this. And much tougher than tempered glass, although not as much synthetic stabilized titanium oxide.
Yeah, that's what makes it so awesome. It's durable and it's highly advanced in the way it actually breaks down frequencies or how it can read certain frequencies. So you won't be able to actually pick it up by the eye, but the device can actually read certain frequencies that we wouldn't be able to pick up visually from taking a picture from that little sapphire lens. So
right.
Whatever the device.
So this is from the mineral. This is not a metaphor. It's from the mineral sapphire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
Synthetic sapphire,
so it may not be the original sapphire.
Or maybe they're working on getting real sapphire, but they're using it as a substitute right now.
Okay, so did Steve Jobs have anything to do with the making of the five?
Of the five? Partly.
Yeah, because he said he was disappointed with 4, and he died shortly after the 4 came out, and it got bad reviews. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
So then he goes to JW's home, and he hangs out around JW's home in the Amari vase, looking at our superior computers there, or the ionized computers. And that told him something, and maybe he communicated it back to his staff, because we know all great scientists use mediums, or he had already figured it out, because Ion does say he was aware of us before he transitioned. And so maybe he saw something from us that he put into the five before he died. He might have some input, though.
So it's kind of like a last-minute thing. It was kind of like at the last minute, he found a new technology to kind of have a say in the developments of his products, even though he wasn't really around. That's really interesting.
Or he was. He may have had some impact on it before he died. I don't know. That's what we have to figure. You have to ask somebody. Call him up and say, did Steve have anything to do with 5? And they might say yes or no. If he did not have any while he was apparently alive, he could have after, through some means. Who knows how he can do? Maybe he walked in somebody. Anyways, there's the point is that This is, we're talking about Sapphire. I know all about Sapphire from Ion, and that was left out of this recording, and then we played it. This is the wonderful symmetry that goes on every week, and we play that session, then we hear this, Sasha comes in to talk about the I-5, and then we find out the Sapphire, so, you know, it's very nicely interconnected. Kathy now says, tee-hee-hee-hee, with many exclamation marks after it, so she's catching up. And then Michael in South Africa said, love the last recording you played with Ion. Yes, every one of you suckers out there should love it. I mean, and anybody who didn't hear it, it was an incredible recording. So, so Bob, he says, in line with your experience of seeing your impact upon civilization as we remember it, would you say this is part of the process for us all as we ascend, that we increasingly start realizing the impact of our presence upon our creation, which can be freaky? Well, I don't know if you had much impact on civilization. You're going to have to work on that.
I think you should try to play that clip, Bob.
Oh, is it ready? Did Bill answer? Where's Bill? Is that the clip where Boer says, Bob, there's only two people in the world who can understand
yes.
you?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's the line, eh? He says that right at the beginning, eh? Right at the beginning?
Right at the very beginning when Jerry asked him. Yep.
Okay, Bill, if you're aware of us, Bill, if you set it up, you can go ahead and play it now. We'll listen.
Yeah, Bob, I put it in your FX folder. You'll have to load it. I can do it here,
oh, okay.
But it'll take me another minute.
Okay, I can do it. So I go to Manage FX. So it's in the available file. And scan down. So it'd be alphabetical, right, Bill? So,
yeah, it starts with 1994 something or other.
Okay, looking up the list.
XXXX.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so I put that over in my list. Are you going to get your wish, Sasha? Okay, there it is. Then we go.
And it's pretty long, Bob. I don't know if you want to play the whole thing, but...
No. I'll just play this beginning part. I mean, you know, it's... But we'll see how it sounds. Okay, this is November 1994. I call up Walter Boert and I record it, and Boert is talking about either he had just talked to Dave Worster and he wanted me to help him
it's just when he's talking to Fialka.
His communications conference. Oh, okay,
yeah.
When Jerry Fialka interviewed him.
Yeah.
That's right. And then what I'm thinking of is 2004. Oh, okay, well, this is interesting. I haven't heard this in decades. Okay, so we'll just let it run a bit and see what happens. So how did you find this, Sasha? You just
never
did.
Never mind, Bob, never mind.
Okay. All right, here we go. Okay, this is Walter Boert being interviewed by Jerry Fialka in Jerry Fialka's little cottage. I'm pretty sure it was there, and that's the cottage that you saw Carolyn being interviewed in 1993 by the British journalist who wanted to know how the hell she ended up in such a literally dinky little cottage. So it is the same environment.
This is Contemporary Communications Conference. My name is Jerry Fialka. We welcome Walter Boert, modern thinker, researcher, and author of the book, Operation Mind Control. Hi, Walter.
Hi, Jerry.
You filled out a survey that I circulate. On this survey, why did you pick Bob and Carolyn Dean as people from history to visit you if you were cast away on a deserted island?
Well, since I don't know any aliens, Bob and Carolyn would stimulate me about as much as anybody I've ever met. So I always would like to have an alien visit me. But since I don't know when to invite, I invited Bob and Carolyn.
And in what regards would they stimulate you?
You know, Bob's a medium, and so is Carolyn. And Carolyn is a highly disciplined medium in the sciences. And Bob is a medium, a spontaneous creative medium in the liberal arts area, I guess it's been called. And they complement each other, and they come as a team and a couple. set of bookends there. And between the two of them, the entire history of the world exists. They, I mean, you got a problem, ask one or the other. I mean, Carolyn cured me, healed my gallbladder. I mean, they wanted to take it out, and I called up Carolyn, and she said, take these. Or I had a hard time.
Over the phone.
Over
not
the
even
phone.
A personal visit.
I had a hard time finding my, some kind of roots she got and stuff. I went, you know, it took me about 3 weeks
some
to get the
herbal,
stuff together, you know. But I had
herbal remedy.
And I followed it, and she says, okay, you got them now? Okay, take these teas and do this and that. Herbal remedy, and I didn't. And I had the stones, and they wanted to rip open my body and take my gallbladder out. As is the standard thing. And Carolyn gave me these herbs and softened the stones up, and then I'm on the phone. She says, call me in 2 weeks. So I call her in 2 weeks at the office. She says, well, did you do this and this and this? And I said, yes. She says, okay, now take a, I want you to take a cup of olive oil or something. I think it was olive oil. You know, olive oil, oil in the gallbladder. And when you have it, wow. So I took and drank a cup. She says, now you stay on the phone. I drink this cup. Wham, this pain hits me. I double on the floor, drop the phone, and then it was gone. She says, how are you feeling? Okay, yeah. She says, well, you passed the stones. You don't have to have the gallbladder surgery. So, I mean, she knows her stuff, you know, and she's a great great doctor. She's the only doctor I trust. You know. Don't tell anybody.
Okay. Now, in a past interview you did with Bob,
yeah.
You called him a mutant. Well, what does he have to offer? It's evident that Carolyn offered you some very positive medical advice.
Yeah. Well, Bob understands the process. I think Bob doesn't know what he knows, you know, to tell you the truth. I'm always discovering his study of Finnegan's Wake. He's the only person alive that I know that has really understood Finnegan's Wake. And, of course, he also is one of the few people that really understand Marshall McLuhan. He has captured a dimension of Marshall McLuhan and absorbed him and become him and then enhanced and innovated and gone further and expanded McLuhan. It's like, what was it, Aristotle and Plato? Plato came after Aristotle, and Plato was the apologist. Was that right for Aristotle?
I'm not sure. Sounds right.
Or, you know, and so was Socrates in there somewhere. But anyway, one guy, the younger guy, was the guy that made the great master, the older guy, available to everybody, explained him. He was the apologist. I think Bob is the apologist for McLuhan.
Uh-huh.
I think through Bob, we can understand Marshall McLuhan the way we couldn't understand Marshall through Marshall. I mean, I couldn't have sat there with this guy in the tweed suit and this Catholic trip, you know, with no sense of humor. He had a sense of humor, but it was so wry, you know. And, you know, I didn't spend much time around him, but I'd see his son and, you know, Eric, and he's sort of very academic, and Marshall was very academic, and though I've read his letters and I've studied him a lot since his passing. But Bob is a living, creative, dynamic, entertaining, wonderful, I think he's an idiot savant.
Very good. Now, you've said in the past that that you don't understand him. And do you think that really you do understand him somewhat?
Well,
but
I understand,
that statement,
I understand some of the part of the process, but I don't think he understands him. I think it's such a living, creative, dynamic process that if you were involved in saying, I know what I say and I say, you know what I mean thing, if he was involved in that process, he wouldn't be doing it, doing what he's doing.
Right.
I think he's truly a medium. I think he's definitely, he's highly playful. Remember what Isaac Asimov said, if we meet in a more advanced civilization, we'll know it because there'll be one of the things that will be clear is that they're very playful and mischievous. And Bob is very playful and mischievous. I think he is an alien incarnated in
right, because,
human body.
Many times the reactions to listeners to his radio show, they say, is he pulling our leg?
I think somebody's pulling his leg, you know, all the time. I mean, extraterrestrial, you know, interdimensional leg pulling is going on here. I think this guy is a great source of wisdom. And it's not, I don't want to get his ego. I don't want him to puff up. And pretty soon we have to ask him for autographs and things. You know, I don't want to see that happen to him.
He doesn't know how to write, don't worry.
Yeah, that's good.
Do you believe a conspiracy? What? Do you believe a conspiracy?
Conspiracy. Well, I love Emery's thing about the whoopsie-daisy theory
of history.
Of history, and I was saying that the other day to one of the monarch victims, and it triggered her because daisy and flowers are used, you know, in their thing. And she went off into altered personality, you know. But what do you got? I mean, a conspiracy is a history. Here's history is a conspiracy, you know?
Well, the next question is, do you believe the conspiracy?
The conspiracy. The conspiracy. Yeah, I believe the conspiracy.
Do you believe in conspiracies?
I don't believe in it. I don't believe in it. I mean, I don't want to give it any energy whatsoever. But all of, there are so many levels. I mean, all of life is a conspiracy. On one level or another, I mean, you know, the three of us or the four of us here in this room, this is a, you know, you could probably be arrested for this, you know. I mean, this is a conspiracy of something to do if, what? I'm not sure, but...
If the thought police could only hear us now.
Yeah, but I mean, here we have good intentions. I think that's probably illegal.
Yeah. Why did you not listen to Bob Dobbs this past Saturday morning?
Oh, I was there to hear the brain-mind symposium thing, getting ready for a lecture and talking to a bunch of people I hadn't seen in 25 or 30 years.
What if you were in a vat of vomit up to your neck and someone threw a bag of shit at your head? What would you do?
I'd probably hold my breath as long as I could.
Tell me something good you've never had and you never want.
That's a good one. I've asked that question.
Tell us some of your good answers.
To so many people that I'm polluted, I can't answer it honestly.
Tell us what Forbes said. Malcolm Forbes?
Armin Hammer said that. He said, you tell me what it is, and I'll tell you whether I want it or not, and I'll tell you whether it's good. You know? So he wasn't going to let anybody make his mind. I asked Johnny Carson that. And he said, man, that's great. I'm going to use that, he said. And he looked over at Alex Moss, who hadn't married. He'd just gotten a divorce at the time when I asked him. And he said, another marriage. And he was lying. You know? But you could tell the answer to that always just shows your sort pattern, you know, how you sort.
Right. I've had many good answers, and one of them is, tell me something good you've never had and you never want. And an older woman said, a spiritual higher being.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. That's okay. Good.
Wow. Well, that's pretty amazing, Sasha.
Wow.
I guess he was 100% right in that little display of perception.
Yeah.
Are you still there?
I was on mute. Yeah, I'm here.
Boy, that was really interesting to hear again. I certainly forgot about all that, and you know he's accurate as far as anybody could say about anybody else. He had me described pretty good.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I've been doing, I don't know what it is about Walter. I find extremely attractive. I don't know.
He's a great guy. He's a great huggable bear.
Yeah, totally. But you know, it's like, you know, Walter was there on the front lines doing a whole bunch of shit and, you know, and seemed to sort of maintain a level of integrity. I mean, you can even hear the way that he's answering Jerry's questions. And, I mean, you know, he's there to have a good time and have fun. And I just, for some random reason, just clicked on that link and just 2 minutes before I called in. I thought, this would be fun to send Bob. I realized that you were on the radio.
Right, well, where is it? Well, where was the link? Is it on my timeline?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty amazing. Walter, you can hear the little boy in his voice, and he's wise enough to describe me probably better than anybody ever described me.
Yep. I would agree. That's why I thought it would be a good thing to play right now.
Danny, it was a good description of Carolyn. I certainly remember the gallstone story. That's a big deal in Walter's life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good description. Carol told him to drink the stuff and then just sit there, wait. And then all this big pain comes through and it's gone. I mean, Carol knew exactly what was going to happen to him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's loads of fun. It's a good clip.
Yeah, it's a good clip. And, okay, so Yuri, or who wants to talk about some stuff, ionic things, or what do you want to say?
Got nothing right now. How was your day?
Well, I had a good day. What happened? What have we done today? Have we learned anything, Palmer? much has happened.
Well, how was your walk to the beach today, Bob? Meet
that
anyone?
Was very good.
Did you enlighten anyone along the way? Meet any little kids and freak them out? Or?
Yeah, no, what happened? Yes, let's see. Yeah, what happened today is this guy who drives the machine that mows the golf course lawn. I don't think I've ever seen him before. I see many of them in the distance doing the machine. You know, as I walk across the golf course, I can't make out the difference between them. They all got their hat and the same uniform on. But this guy's sitting there under a tree, and as I approach him, he goes, "Hey, Bob." I look at the guy, I don't even know who he is. He doesn't look at all familiar. Yeah, that's who he is. Never seen him before. And he points to the sky. "Hey, Bob," he points to the sky. I look up and, "Yeah, nice day, great day." And he goes, "Yep." And then he starts laughing. So, and he was sitting on his big lawnmower thing underneath a tree. Like, looked like he was having his lunch break, but it was weird. I suspect he was from another world or something. You know, it's yeah. So that happened today.
I want to talk about ionically, Bob, is the mitochondria topic. One of the things I couldn't quite get from listening to that, because I've only listened to it once, was the aspect within the brain.
The brain does not have mitochondria in there interfering, because the brain is for storage and for endless storage. So it doesn't stop. The brain activity, laying of conduit and neuron activity never stops. And that became a great metaphor for a bunch of things. I think I said it to somebody either on the cabinet meeting or somewhere. You know, you have your body, and it's finite and never mind, but you got to have the complementary process of a thing that doesn't stop. So it's almost like the body-mind. The mind never stops. You just have to understand that it's not going to make any conclusion relevant to you. You just let it. The reason it feels like it's endlessly chattering is because it's endlessly working and storing.
Right, but the thing is that what got me was that that I am making reference to the fact that even in the quote-unquote ascended state, and I say quote-unquote because I know you in particular don't like the ascended term, that even in the ascended term, it's almost as if the 144,000 don't apply post.
Yeah, they don't apply.
Right,
yeah, they
in
don't
the brain
apply.
Specifically. So,
it's an autonomic process.
Yeah, autonomic.
Remember, there's several autonomic systems in our body, and I don't think Ion ever discussed the autonomic. The brain is autonomic, but that description made it be autonomic, along with the other parts of the autonomic systems in our body. It's just autonomically recording. Restoring something.
Well, we got into rewrite a little bit. We got into and rewrite a little bit about the separation, like the base, the corpus callosum, or whatever it was that, you know, like from below there, the body, you know, is essentially autonomic, and then above the brain is something different. But we never, I never actually heard Ion specify that even in a post-ascended state, that would still be the case.
Yeah, that's totally unique information. That's never been said before. It just was said. Yeah. And probably humans don't even know it. No, nobody knows what was said there. It's never been heard before.
No.
It's like the dead autonomic dead part And that's why our minds endlessly chatter. And you know what would be, you would ask Ion, you say the mind is part of the autonomic system. Maybe the mind is not part of the gut autonomic system, whatever that one's called, but it's part of the brain autonomic system. See, that would be a good question.
The part that really perplexed me, though, is the fact that, you know, like, Ion really had Carolyn, like, drill down to what the brain is consists of, which is essentially fat, which is essentially lipids.
Yeah. Which gets denser,
Right, exactly. So I would just love to have got back into that conversation to try and, like, pull that apart a little bit more and try and figure out, you know, because the lipids are your fractal antenna, so, you know, it's picking up on this, that, and the other thing, but then, you know, like, is there any separation, you know, between, like, the labyrinth of the mind in that way, like, the, you know, basically what I'm trying to say is, like, what is the mind-brain separation in that way?
Yeah, I did it. I don't know. Someday I might find it way back there. Matter of fact, Ion, in the mitochondria recording, I think he says, we went over this many times, and he didn't say with Bob, he just said we went over this laying of conduit and neuron and something. Now, he makes a reference, I knew exactly what he was referring to. One night, I argue with him for about, you know, a couple hours about what's the gray matter, what's the conduit, what's the pipeline that the information comes through, what's thought, what's mind, and it was pretty interesting. There was about four different terms and four parts of the process, but it was very hard to figure out what was what under my squeezing.
Right.
It wasn't satisfactory, which is what the mind is. You're never going to get it. The mind cannot hear an answer, a concluding answer. Think of that. It can't hear one.
Well, because your mind gets involved. And this is the part this is the part that I find really interesting about this and why I was really stumped is that I've always had this difficulty between what you, quote-unquote, sense or feel in your environment and what you're projecting into the environment and how to separate those. And in that mitochondria recording, basically that's what I was left with. It was like, okay, so you've got all these fractal antennas and these lipids, but then on the other hand, Ion's basically saying, you know, even in the ascended brain, the mitochondria just keep snipping. And I was
The brain. The mitochondria don't snip in the brain. They're kept out of the brain.
Right. Right.
Because they would stop it, and the brain can't be stopped. Now, when you hear what I played last hour, it answers your question about the mirrored satellite and the role of the mirror and how the mirror is the past. It's for the little man, he has to have a past so he can have a future. There's something about the splitting up of time or space or spans that creates that doubleness that you're just talking about, where the mind has to make a split, and then that's what it's trapped by. And so it can't get out of that. So note, when you hear last hour, it might answer this point about how the mind splits on itself.
Well, whenever, like, I've asked this question to Worcester about time-space, the only thing that he ever comes up with is he says that you're basically in the middle of a trajectory, and the only way you can move is out. So there's movement involved.
No, that's movement. I understand what he's saying there. Now, to explain
it. So as soon as there's movement, that means that you're sort of, and that pulls me always back to, like, JW's, like, classic term about the fulcrum. JW would always say, you set the fulcrum. Very similar to what Dave is saying about, you know, but he's sort of looking at it from a different visual perspective, that, you know, that you're in the center, and the only way you can move out, and once you're out, you've got forward and backwards, and so therefore you're referencing past, present, future time, time, space, etc.
Okay, listen, I defined Rai as the original separateness, and I said the original movement.
Mm-hmm.
So movement out is similar to when Ion says that you're happy, you're satisfied, but ready for more, and more will come. That's what Worcester's trying to say about out. Experience doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm. No,
even for the ascended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Michael in South Africa says, it was the laughing Buddha Bob. It was. I don't know why, the past tense. It was the laughing Buddha Bob.
Mm-hmm. He's talking about your CKLM shows.
What'd you say?
Talking about your CKLM shows or something?
I don't know what he might be referring to whatever we've done so far, but I just want to say what he said. Let's get back to what you're talking about. So this splitness, never get it done, always enough, all these aspects, the mind is right there inside itself, performing itself, performing its splitting, monitoring, checking, clocking, with no purpose, no apparent metaphysical purpose.
Uh-huh.
Just
Yeah, but all I was saying within this is that the mitochondria thing just really, really did try and get me triggered and was like summoning Ion, like, finish and explain this.
Yeah. And now, you know, there's those six. So the mitochondria got added. It was the sixth one. You know, got that set of six recordings explaining the RNA drops. We've been playing all of them throughout the shows the past month. They're really good if you listen to them all together. And then what I played this an hour ago is awesome. It fills in, it defines magnetism and frequency in a very interesting way. It brings in isness and ironness. I think you'll find it pretty good.
Okay. I'll go back and listen to it tomorrow.
Yeah. So, Yuri, we got 2 minutes. Anything you want to say?
I think this will be it for me for tonight. I have work at 10 in the morning. So, just want to say I really enjoyed the piece I heard tonight, and the man in the mirror part. So it's a matter of looking into your past, right? And
yeah, when you look in the mirror, when you look in the mirror, you're looking at your past, and you're also looking sometimes at your other self or another world.
Okay.
And Michael Jackson wrote a song, The Man in the Mirror, about this stuff in the knowledge of being a parallel worlder. So you might want to check out his song.
And if you want to make the world a better place, just look in yourself and make a change. That's how it goes.
No, is that what it says?
Yes.
Yep.
Well, that doesn't apply anymore. That doesn't apply anymore. That's bullshit.
Oh,
that's the old school. That's strictly old school. It's not a whatever. It's not a whatever at all. It's strictly old school.
Bob doesn't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand, Michael. The point is you must include RNA drops and work with what that does to you. That's how you begin.
Okay. All right.
I mean, it's a big cliche. Wait, just don't leave yet. Just a minute now. We got your important point here.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, just hold on. Don't go around thinking that you can do it on your own. Ion, you'll hear in this recording last hour, the ion gets more prominent the more lost we are. And so ion showed up and became very, first time we had non-physical talk to, when we were completely screwed 3 years ago. To note that point. And so we're so scared we required, RNA drops and these things. So don't be fooled with traditional metaphysical thing that it can be done by you. Not anymore. You've stayed around too long. You're trapped. You're in a rabbit hole, real serious. Even Mr. Worcester is taking RNA drops and demands some renew. Even Worcester knows.
Uh-oh.
It's very true, and I see it every day with like, you know, reflections of my past just walking past me, trying to find me, and it's like, oh, this is not Yuri. Continue, you know. It's very true because we do really need us like something as more of a pick me up, and RNA came just in time. I really say it really changed my life.
Yep, changing everybody's life. So, okay, thanks for dropping in, Sasha. Very interesting stuff, and great to hear Bowert. Good to get that into the archives. So congratulations, everybody, for another successful show, and we'll be back tomorrow at my cabinet meeting, private in-camera cabinet meeting for the rest of you. Next week, we'll have Chad. War.
Lots of Ka-ching.
The health-restoring product you're about to hear about is not sold in retail stores, so get ready to write down a website. RNA Drops is an amazing, revolutionary product that is bringing thousands relief from stress, anxiety, depression, COPD, arthritis, high blood sugar, cysts, hair loss in men and women, joint and back pain, heart function, blood pressure, digestive conditions, headaches, and much more. Ready for the website? Remember, RNA Drops is not sold locally, and for a very limited time, you can get a free sample through this website, rnafreesample.com. Pay only shipping and handling for a 30-day supply. I'll repeat that. It's rnafreesample.com or text RNA to 67076. RNA Drops are 100% natural, 100% vegan, safe at every level with no known side effects. So go to rnafreesample.com or text RNA to 67076. Restore your equilibrium and experience stress-relieving power with RNA Drops, the chemical-free superfood.
Hoping to find a way out.
Psychic radio, holistic radio, spiritual radio. The oldest and most trusted station of its kind in the world. This is AchieveRadio.com.
It's been a too long time with no peace of mind, and I'm ready for the times to